Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
So this is one of those nice November days where there isn't the one cloud that can turn, you know, a nice, easy, playable, even golf playable November day into, no, I should be skiing right now because it's 20 degrees colder when one cloud enters the equation.
Yeah.
Today is one of those good November days.
A little windy.
Sure, you can always find the negative.
Yeah,
I think it's not quite cold enough for you to be able to justify wearing the sweater and the scarf. You're trying to make a statement.
I gotta be me, baby.
How about Ross? Yeah. Ross Tucker, militantly anti-sweater.
Yeah,
I think we just sort of drew that out of him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't wear sweaters anymore, mostly because coming in here, it's pointless.
That's right. It's too hot in here.
And, you know, so that just sort of I've fallen out of the habit. In fact, I haven't even, the way my clothes are stored, the closet, it can get dusty in there. Like if stuff doesn't get worn for, you know, like, well, sweaters, for instance, I have to launder them before I start wearing them. Otherwise, I start sneezing and get all stuffed up. Like there's just some fine dust that is in that closet that comes through a vent or something in there, and it just is a problem. I haven't even done that yet. I mean, we're into sweater season, but I don't wear them.
No. The sweatshirt over the T-shirt, easily the way to go. The jacket over the T-shirt.
It's all you need.
Ross makes a fair point about jackets, though.
Yeah.
He's like, I need it for that 7 seconds from walking from my house to my car.
I did today.
he's right about that.
I put it on. I did.
And then there's, you know, whatever, however many seconds it is to go from your car to wherever your destination is.
Right.
Here,
right.
Work.
Yeah.
That's another 30.
Yeah. I went jacket.
Well,
scarf though.
No scarf.
Not yet.
Let's just be honest about it. I just made that up. The Chiefs. So one of your many calling cards is being able to dredge up hate for the other team. And it used to be just the head coach, but you've sort of walked away from that. You've stepped away from just making it about. Once we got to Jonathan Gannon, you know, like I don't really want to just figure out a way to hate Jonathan Gannon. I'm not even sure I know who he is. You know, that was week one. So Andy Reid.
he's a very hard guy to dredge up hate for. I'm more envious of him. Like I it's easier for me to just sort of hate the whole production because they're so good, and we can't seem to beat them when it really matters, and so I get sort of sick of that. But I'll tell you honestly, you know what works against me dredging up disdain for the Chiefs is the insanity about people complaining about them getting all the calls.
I know.
Like, I just can't. I don't want to sound like I'm with those people because I think those people are the biggest donkeys that have ever lived. And so, maybe not the biggest donkeys, but I think you're
donkey draft.
I think you're a pretty big donkey. If
reverse
you're like,
donkey
you know,
rankings.
You know, the guy yesterday. To Taylor Swift and all that. Like, oh my God. Like, I don't know what to do with you.
I thought he was right.
Oh yeah, good.
Well,
good to know.
If can I say now?
Sure.
In a small way, he went into so many different areas. I never got a chance, but of course, if you follow sports, you know that the great players, the best teams and players, get the calls, and that's not a conspiracy. That's not because, like I did say to the guy yesterday, if this whole idea that the NFL wants the Chiefs to win, you'd want to make it close at least. You want to make it interesting. And I guess they're doing that, right? That's what you're going to tell me is they're all close games.
I'm not going to tell you anything.
You wouldn't want them to win every week. You'd want, you'd want drama more like last year where they struggle and they win. But that's Michael Jordan. You know, that's how it goes in sports. The great players get the close pitches. They get the fouls or the non-calls. And whatever it is you want to say about Kansas City, there probably is some truth to that because they have been so successful. And it's harder, just subconsciously, it's harder to throw the flag.
Sure.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. I think whoever is that team is going to get that treatment in any sport.
Why he freaks out about Kadarius Toney being called for that offside stems from that. And you can hate him for that. And, he was a big baby.
Yeah, he was.
But he is used to a certain treatment, and I think it makes sense. I'm not saying it's right or he's entitled or anything, but I think it does make sense because I think that is a real thing in sports. And you want that for the Bills. I don't know. Like, we sort of, maybe we're blind to it, or maybe it's just not there. But
yeah,
we might be blind to it in certain of their games because we are just not wired to, we're wired to complain. And so if the Bills get calls, like, we're not even going to notice it,
right?
Maybe.
Right. I always try to point out when a call that is bad goes against their opponent just for the sake of it, but I don't think anyone remembers. It's like going for a fourth down that you make. That's not a story. It's a story if you miss, right? So it goes your way. It's just like, well, yeah, of course that was a good call. That's just, people. Look, I'm not here to take that away from you. You should be, to some extent. I mean, you're fans. You don't have a responsibility to be objective. You just have to love your team and hate who they're playing, and that's fine. But when it rises to the level of people that I consider even friends and, not very undonkey-like, that are telling, trying to convince me that, like, you're missing it. Like, I don't know what to do. So, I just have no idea how to console them or try to tell them, like, what are we even doing here? Why do you even care if it's all rigged? I know, you're trying to call attention to it. Okay, good luck. Anyway, so that sort of that gums up the works for me a little bit, right? Like, I used to enjoy hating on Kelce because I just thought he came off kind of like a wannabe wrestler when he talked to the media and always yelling and like this sort of faux tough guy stuff. But now he's dating Taylor Swift and people hate him for that. And I don't want to hate him for that. I don't care about that. If anything, I want to support it. So now I don't feel like I want to get the bows and arrows out for Travis Kelce anymore because he's getting it from people who think, the whole thing is rigged because of her. And I just can't even deal with that. I'm sorry I keep talking about this, but it is Chiefs week. So I'm just all tangled up on them, Like, I'm tired of them dominating. I really want them to lose. I want the Bills to beat them every time they play them. But they also, to me, are to be respected and admired and envied.
This is just sickening to hear.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm letting everyone down, I think.
I think one of the things that makes, especially if the Bills are close, this could have been true of Brady, but the Bills weren't that close. Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's even like more sort of like you notice it more now with Kansas City. Mahomes and Kelsey and Reed are always in your face on commercials during game day. Like, it's the insurance, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to say it. Just like Mahomes, I'm not going to say that. And the soup and everything, like, they're just kind of, they're omnipresent in and out of games you're watching where they're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just normal for championship teams.
Yep.
When it happened with Mayfield, this came up yesterday, he was playing for the Browns. Like, that was a little bit not normal because what had he actually done? He was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, and Allen's had his turn.
It helped that the company that he was doing those ads for had their name on the stadium that he played in. Like, that was the relationship there, I think.
Cleveland?
You know, yeah. Progressive was the ad campaign, and that was their stadium for a while.
The baseball park.
Oh, I guess that's right. They were big in Cleveland. Yeah, the football stadium wasn't named that, now that you mention it. But I think they had a home base in Cleveland.
I just have to go back in time and go into insurance.
Anyway, I don't know.
Insurance companies seem to do well with how many millions they spend on ads at every game and drugs. So, I mean, that's part of it, isn't it? That you're a little bit jealous of the way that the Super Bowls kind of afford the players on the team, the stars of the team, that much more recognition and notoriety.
Right, and that only adds to the idea that, of course, they're getting the breaks because they're like the faces of the league, which, you know, I get that. And, you know, the best players do get breaks. But, you know, the idea of it raising to the level of like a league-wide edict or something is just, to me, insane. And I think to you, and I think to most people who aren't completely around the bend about it. But sure, look, the Bills, you know, Kansas City's not some metropolis, you know,
right,
like New York or you know, bigger markets. You know, if the Bills were riding 3 Super Bowls in 5 or 6 years or whatever it is, and Allen was the MVP twice already, I think he'd be in all those ads. He's in a fair amount of stuff himself as it is without that, but you don't get that treatment until you're the king of the hill. And, like, indisputably the king of the hill, not just, like, a one-off. And the Chiefs have had staying power. So, of course, they're a brand that is everywhere because, well, they're dominant.
What actually is a better story this year in football? If they win again or if they don't? Like, what's the most interesting Chiefs storyline this year? I think it's if they lose. Like, New England was so good. That 17-0 season, which maybe Kansas City is en route to, the fact that they lost in that Super Bowl was really, like, incredible and so interesting. Wait, Rob Gronkowski is on the Western Hotline again. I have to be careful here. I don't want to start something. 2 days in a row, wow. But, like, it's... What do you watch sports for? You say you're not a fan of either team, really. You know, you're a Carolina Panthers fan.
Whatever. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And you've got the Chiefs and the Bills or the Chiefs and the Ravens, whatever it is. Even the Chiefs and the 49ers, if you want. The 49ers have lost 2 very close Super Bowls to Kansas City. Isn't it better if they lose? And that, I don't want to indulge the rigged people either, but wouldn't that make sense that, like, it's a more interesting league to watch and it's a more interesting storyline going forward? What do you want next year if you're the NFL? If you really were writing a script, you would want the Kansas City script to be, can they come back and win after losing to somebody? If it's the Bills, then we talk about how really, actually, the Bills have been kind of right at their level for these years, and this time they won. That's the Patriots-Colts
mm-hmm.
comparison. That's more interesting. If they win a third in a row, that's history, but it just makes next year the same.
Yeah.
And it gets boring after a while.
Yeah, I think a distinction I would make it, like, what's the best? What's the best outcome? Like, what's the best script? I think Kansas City shooting for undefeated is that. It, like, if they go and win it a third time in a row while being undefeated, that's unprecedented and incredible. And that, to me, is the best story you could have. So, you know, have at it, conspiracy theorists. But I think if they lose a game here Sunday or anytime between now and the playoffs, then I think it becomes somebody else that hasn't had a turn yet. Detroit, Buffalo. And sure, am I objective about that? I mean, I can try my best. I think that that could work for the Carolina fan. Like, just somebody else. And, you know, somebody that's been downtrodden, somebody that's never really had, you know, that kick at it. I mean, Detroit's never even been there. So they outrank the Bills even in that way. Unless, you know, you think losing four times in a row is somehow, you know, feels worse than never being there, then maybe you could argue that the Bills are the better story. But I think the Bills or the Lions become the heartwarming football story if the Chiefs lose a game along the way. That's not to say everybody will fall in line and root for the Chiefs, but from an interest and a story perspective, them chasing perfection and trying to win an unprecedented third in a row is hard to beat. I mean, I think objectively that's hard to beat.
I mean, they're not going to go undefeated.
I think that's probably right.
They stink.
Sure they do.
Right? Look at these games. Look at these box scores. They're definitely not going. They have eight games left, and they can't. They should have lost last week. They should have lost three by now, yeah, probably. What's their Pythagorean bulldog? You look at that stuff. It's not going to be 9-0. It's going to be more like 7-2, if even that. I'm saying.
I'll bet it's 6-3.
It is 6.1 to 2.9. It is 6-3 by the point differential. That's the record they should have, 6-3.
Yeah,
which is what?
That would be
Atlanta's record. I mean, I don't know.
Right. That's the Chargers' record.
The Chargers' record.
They'd be tied for the division.
Another close
lead.
Win.
Right.
Well, I think I would want, if I were writing a script, the AFC Championship I'd want is Bills Ravens, because then I've got I had last year for Mahomes climbing the ladder, you know, on the road, and then winning it all, and that was, you know, really honestly, that was pretty insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it elevates the Chiefs, or elevated the Chiefs, to a very high level in NFL history, winning 3 and 5 and going to 4 out of 5 and back to back. They go down as one of those teams. Nobody's ever won 3 in a row. So I had last year for that. This year, it's interesting that they're good and that they're in it, but I don't need to write the same story. I don't need people to watch the same movie. You know, it's not more interesting, maybe slightly more interesting this year because of the historical aspect of things, but I would want them to get knocked off, like which happened to Brady's teams. And, you know, the Ravens would go to New England and win in the playoffs a couple times, and the Colts, you know. So I'd want that. And then I could have, we should have had it last year, maybe, almost did, but don't we want a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson championship game? You know, there's the MVP race this year. There was the one playoff game in the wind that the Bills won. So there was at least that. But I think that's the best for the script this year would be somebody beats Kansas City, whoever it is, one of these two teams or someone else, and you get to the AFC Championship, and it's these two quarterbacks who have both been, or it's Burrow. It's the two of the guys that have been unable to crack the Kansas City wall. And this year we know one of them will. And so who will be that team? Because the loser of that game goes, it's never going to happen for me. Like, this was my chance.
Right.
Which is probably how, I don't think Allen or the Bills, but this is probably how Baltimore felt last year. Like, that was really their year.
Yeah.
Home field, one win away, and they just couldn't get it. And, you know, they're back this year, and Jackson is even better so far this year. That's the story I think I want.
Yeah.
And then Detroit on the other side is fine.
I usually do not fall for I want to beat the king to be the king type stuff. I don't need Tom Brady to be playing when New England comes here, you know, going back year. Like, just give me the easiest path to another win, at least in the regular season. I feel with how this has gone, here since 2020 with the Bills and the Chiefs. And we'll see, you know, we got another chapter coming on Sunday afternoon. I feel like it, for me, right sitting here right now, I reserve the right to change my mind about this. Not having to beat the Chiefs to get there. And you didn't exactly say that. You said Ravens, Bills, somebody has beaten the Chiefs already. I think I really need it to be us. I think I need it to be the Bills. I just feel like if they do it, we'll have the parade and nobody is going to be putting asterisks on it or anything. I mean, it's not going to happen. But I need to see the Bills beat that team in the playoffs. I think I need it. At this point, I need them to prove that they can do it. And if they get through somehow without having to do it, it will still be incredible. It would be, of course, you know, like, yay, we did it. I just feel like it's tastier if you knock them off after all this. Like, I feel like I need to see the Bills take them down in January in order for me to be completely fulfilled here. I mean, I know that sounds insane. I'm parsing out how I want them to win a Super Bowl, which, you know,
I'm too old for that.
Which is why I usually push against it, but I don't know. As you're talking over there about Ravens, Bills, I'm just sitting here going, I need to see them leave the field in a playoff game victorious over that team. And I might even tell you, I need that to be, you know, the AFC championship and the confetti and the whole thing, like the scene, you know, remember the picture of Diggs standing there watching the celebration? Like, I need Kelce or Mahomes to be doing that, maybe in their own stadium.
But it wouldn't be the same because of their wins already. You know, I mean, these are serious people, and it's not going to be like they're okay with losing, but it's different when you've won before.
Sure.
You know, three times.
Sure.
So you're saying you would not take a Bills Super Bowl win over Arizona 2-0 because Murray fumbled five times? Would not take that?
I did not.
That's not a real win.
I did not say I would not take that. I'm just saying to be to tick all the boxes, check all the boxes. I need to go through the Chiefs.
I don't need boxes.
Yeah. Well, really. Good for, I'm glad you're
don't care
not
about
as
it.
Not as weak as me.
Don't care about boxes. Yeah. Just get it home. So today we have Matt Verderam joining us, SI.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs guy, but, you know, covers the whole league. We'll get his perspective on Sunday. We've been talking for a couple days off and on about how important the game is to the Bills, to either team. Mentioning Ross Tucker from earlier, I know that we can really only think about what he thinks about sweaters. But he did say that it really just was not that big a game. To the Bills specifically, he said yesterday, because of the whole point that it's going to have to come down to what happens in the playoffs, which we know. That's kind of been my attitude this week, is I just want to enjoy this week, which I am.
Yeah.
I'm loving, you know, waking up in the morning and thinking about, I'll take as much time as you want to get me to Sunday, because it's just fun to look forward to anticipate. And, you know, it's really... a loss doesn't really kill you at all. So I think it's kind of a fun, exciting, but casual sort of week.
Yeah, even Josh Allen today made some passing reference to
Ross.
Not to Ross, nor Sweaters, nor Gronk calling our show yesterday. Someone asking him, complimenting him for playing well against the Chiefs and you know, putting up numbers in winning these regular season games. And Allen said something to the effect of, that's great and everything, but, you know, we got to do it when it matters the most, or something along those lines. Like he alluded to not being able to beat them in January.
It would be weird if he said, like,
yeah,
you know what? Thank you, because nobody ever talks about how we have beaten them.
I'm so happy.
And that would be laughed at.
Right.
You know, like, no, he's got the right perspective about it. I believe him. We will talk to Sal today. The injury report is long. It was just a walkthrough today, so I don't know. Sal will tell us what he thinks is right to sort of take away from the list. Cooper, Kincaid, Spencer Brown. Sal talked to Spencer Brown. And late in the show, Paul Hamilton. There's some Sabres news with injuries. And James Reimer, longtime Sabres fan favorite, James Reimer, is back in the organization being claimed off of waivers. We'd love to hear from you next, 803-0550, what the best script is for this season, Bills, Chiefs, anything in or around it. We'll look for your calls after this break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
The Chiefs are basically the best third down team in the NFL on offense. And that's a large part of that is Mahomes being Mahomes. This idea that Mahomes is capable of simply turning it on when he needs to does appear to be borne out. First and second down, it's not going that well. Third down, Mahomes clicks into gear and goes, okay, let's keep the chains moving, and finds a way of making it work. So it's this weird dynamic now where the offense still isn't in sync all the time. Mahomes still isn't playing particularly well overall. But when it matters, it's still making the plays.
Another chance for a Chiefs opponent Sunday to put that to the test. Sam Monson, our longtime guest on our show, speaking on Mahomes and the Chiefs' season. Patrick Mahomes threw 9 games, 9-0, 69.5 completion percentage, 2,208 yards, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Allen, not the same in terms of completion percentage, about the same when it comes to yards. One more game played, too, by the way, but Mahomes has only less than 100 fewer yards than Allen does through the air. 17-4, touchdowns to interceptions, and Allen, always a threat on the ground, has 4 rushing touchdowns this year, which is not on the same pace as last year. He had 2 in the opener, and Mahomes on the ground this year has 1, but he's not the same, you know, runner.
Right.
He's dangerous.
Yes.
He runs in the playoffs. I've won a couple of bets on him rushing props in the playoffs. And that's in the air about Allen in this game. Is Jeremy made a smart point about it. Like, how much Allen has run, you know, a lot against Kansas
City.
More than
10 each of the last 4 meetings. Or 5 even, I think it was.
And if that happens again, it'll tell you something about how seriously, of course they want to win, but just what the stakes are to the Bills on Sunday, because generally they really don't want him running that often.
His running was, you know, even a game that they were comfortably ahead a lot of in last Sunday in Indianapolis, his running was vital. I mean, not just the touchdown, like the last drive where they iced the game, he got them out of, I think, a 2nd and 19 running the ball. So, it'd be a stretch for me to say they wouldn't have won the game without it, but it certainly helped a lot. So maybe we're already to that ramping up. I don't know. We'll see how things change depending on how this game goes and what kind of race they're running.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's go to Bill here. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, fellas?
Good, Bill. Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to say something. Basically, there's been a few times in my sports watching where I've seen losses that were extremely devastating to the franchise because it just shouldn't have happened. The 13 seconds, not to rub it in, but that was one of them. The Seattle game where they had Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, tried to pass the ball against the Patriots, intercepted, lost that game. And the Leafs playing the Bruins, game 7, up by, I think, 4 goals, in 10 minutes to go and choke that one up. And I don't know what momentum is. I know it when I see it. I can't describe it. But when these things happen in very big playoff games like that, it's an extremely hard thing to get off your back. And I know a regular season game won't do that for the Bills. It's going to have to be something where they're in a similar situation in the playoffs and they come out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is going to have to turn it for the Bills. And I don't think this game this week means anything. Actually, in the last 3 weeks, I've watched Kansas City late in games get multiple referee calls in their favor that gave them second and third chances. And they still keep winning. And I don't think that can keep up. I just think that at some point, they're not going to get those breaks. But that's my feeling, and I really like to see Buffalo get this off their back. But it's going to have to be in the playoffs, fellas.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. You know, about that looming, I mean, it comes up. You know, sometimes we bring it up. Sometimes it's a caller that brings it up. It just, it's in the flow of conversation. It's there. And one or both of us said it the immediately after that game happened. Like, we are going to be living with this until they win it. That's it. It's gonna be in the corner of every room, of every conversation we're having about them and our emotional attachment to them. It has a seat at the table, and we can't ask it to leave until we have to expunge it. It has to be exercised out of the room. And the way to do that, I mean, last year was a perfect example. On your home field, you've got the ball, you're in their territory, you're down by three. Like, okay, here's your chance, do it. And they didn't. And so another year goes by, and we're here again. And yeah, and all of this is, you know, to some extent, it's just, we're just rearranging things and just put, you know, just trying to make everything presentable. Just get me to January so I can find out if this is the year I can just take that out back and bury it once and for all.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it until you win. Like, there's nothing,
right.
There's nothing you can do about it now, I guess. I mean, it really, though, it's an interesting point. Are there really, it's subjective. It's this caller's list of, yeah, that's not what should have happened in that game. And so in my mind, it's like X number of times harder for the team that loses these famous games where you sort of blow it the next time. It's really entirely subjective. I'm sure it's just like these other things we mentioned even today already. If you thought about other famous losses, you know, what about the Red Sox in 03? Just trying to think of one.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Boone. Oh, well, not only is it that, but it's like 80 years of that.
Right.
They'll never do it. Oh, well, they did. I mean, just, I think there are probably tons of those that, I mean, the point kind of is, the caller didn't say it'll never happen.
Right.
But that's sort of the premise, is that it'll never happen because, like, the Leafs beating the Bruins, because when you got close, when you had your chance, that's as close as you can expect to come. Not to put words in his mouth.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I don't agree. I also just choose not to live like that. If the Bills beat Kansas City in the playoffs and the subject of 13 seconds comes up, if anybody takes the question, it will be about motivation. We got sick of talking about it and mm-hmm. hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that it wasn't going away until we won, but it helped us to win. It helped us to, you know, we just got sick of hearing about all the times Kansas City pulled out these games. So is it one way or the other? I think it depends on which examples you look at.
Yeah, I definitely didn't, myself, get the feeling from that caller that he doesn't think it'll ever happen. It's simply, he's just rephrasing what we've been saying all week, which is you're not going to be able to do anything about it on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday's not going to change anything. You got to beat this team in January, and that will and then actually win the Super Bowl too, I think. You know, even though they were still two games, you know, another game to get to before they could even get to the Super Bowl and win it, you know, there's a lot of assumptions made about how good they looked and they're running so hot, so of course they would have beat Cincinnati and all of that. So until they beat that team in January, like they had the chance to do at home last year, that's why I'm saying that's going to be sitting at the table forever until that happens. When it happens, then it's over, I think. It's just like, I'm done with 13 seconds, but you got to have a parade first. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting here feeling like that was our best look at it, and we didn't get it, and, you know, years are just flying off the calendar like in some old cartoon here, and that's, you know, that's our existence.
There's also an element of, what good does it do anybody to just keep thinking of that and talking about that? What good is that? Is it healthy? Is it helpful? You know, just you and I analyzing the situation do refer to that game, and it's not wrong to. But, like, again, if I'm on the team, I'm a part of this, I just don't want to think about that. Doesn't do anything for me. If it makes me more motivated, okay, but I'm a professional athlete, and I'm pretty mm-hmm. motivated pretty much always. So I just it doesn't help me, right? The Sabres in 98 is another one. Where they always lost to Philadelphia. Going back a generation,
mm-hmm.
which meant nothing to anybody involved except outsiders. They were just not going to beat Philadelphia. Like, all right, why not? Because they didn't in the past, and then they whipped them. You know, it evolves.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if the players on the team that were here, Josh Allen, for example, Sean McDermott, if they're walking around referencing it, having it come up the way it comes up for us, I think this is one very glaring example, in my opinion, of how different the existence of the people that are on the team, running the team, playing for the team, and us out here, how different the life is. Because I think if you're competing there, like, I can't know this, but I would be stunned if Josh Allen's walking on the field thinking, like, man, I sure hope we don't get beat late again. Like, that's not the approach. Fans, our anxiety, we don't have a chance to go out and throw passes to the wide receivers in practice and, like, blow off the steam that way. Like, we're just all pent up over here watching the games, living with the anxiety of this horrible thing is going to happen to us again. And, like, we don't know what to do with that. So it just comes spilling out in all these different ways. I don't think it matters to the competitors at all, really, that they haven't beaten that team in January yet. I think it matters vitally to us every time we talk about it. But I'd be surprised if the players are feeling it at all. I'm sure they're reminded of it, but I would bet they work to keep it over there because it's not helpful at all.
I think it would be work. Though,
yeah,
you know, you'd have to an extent.
Sure, you have to make an effort. I mean, we have to do that in our lives with things that make us unhappy or bad memories or mistakes we've made. Like, I can't sit here bathing in every wrong decision I've ever made in my life that hurt people. I leave it over there because I'm trying to be good today. And I think when you're playing football or playing hockey, whatever, that's how you go about competing.
Well, that's how you'd want it to be. You know, that's what you'd strive for, I think. Everybody's different. Thurman with the anger he put toward right. every team they played because they didn't draft him. You know, everybody would be different in that way. I think for myself, I'd want to be what you're describing, which is it's just noise. Doesn't help me. Doesn't help me to focus to be right. my best right now in this game, in this moment. Shane is next. Hi, Shane.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. If, like, 10 years ago, I had texted all my friends and family and said, like, hey, let's have a big party and watch the Bills game, they would have laughed at me. And I was telling my kids, like, this is the best time to be a Bills fan in probably 30 years. We were playing the defending Super Bowl champs and we're favored. Almost every game we're winning and we're favored. It's, like, really enjoyable. It's a great way to make a lot of memories with your kids. This is the best time since, what, the early 90s? I mean, before this, the last 20 years, Buffalo was known as the place that drafted O.J. Simpson and went to 4 Super Bowls and lost. And now we have a superstar quarterback and a really great team. And it's just a great time to really be a Bills fan.
No doubt. Yep.
Hard agree. Yes. Without question. You know, even with the disappointment, it's still, like, to me, it's the best. I mean, I wasn't on the radio for the Super Bowls. I started the working at WBEN the year that the streak ended of them going to the Super Bowl. 94, I'm an intern there. 95, I'm on the radio.
Now we know whose fault it is.
Right. So I didn't get to enjoy that like this. So, I mean, yeah, here. It is. It's fantastic.
Matt Verderam coming up at 4 to break down this game. Sal Capaccio, Paul Hamilton today, too. Thanks for your calls. 803-0550 if you want to be next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. We'll dig into Bills Chiefs once more coming up in about 14 minutes. Matt Verderam will join us, SI.com. This is the 50th meeting, regular season meeting at least, between the Bills and the Chiefs. I went to one in 1986, Bills Chiefs, one of my first ever games. Bills lost. Kelly's first year.
Who's the Chiefs quarterback in 86? Is it
Bill Kenny?
Okay, yeah, Blackledge was 83 draft, but he kind of washed out.
It could have been Blackledge, actually. They had both of those guys for a while. I'm not sure. I want to say Bill Kenny, but one of the two, probably. I know John Makovic was the coach. Marv had left, and then later that season, Marv was hired here.
Right.
But it was still Hank Bulla, the game I went to early in the season. They played, we talked yesterday about how there have been so many meetings between the Bills and the Chiefs because of the playoffs, and because if they've each finished in first place, which they have for a few years in a row, they're guaranteed to meet the next year. In those years, you had two divisions of five teams and then one of four in each conference. And so the fifth place team didn't play like the NFC division that the rest of the division played. You played the last place teams over there, the fifth place teams. And then the Bills and the Chiefs would have both finished fifth in 85 probably. I know the Bills did, because they played twice that year.
Wow.
So you would play the last place teams in the five team divisions would play one of the other teams twice a year or twice that year. And the second of those games in Kansas City, the Bills won, which ended a long losing road streak of theirs. It was like their first road win in 3 years or something like that. 86.
All right.
86 Bills. 4-12, but there were good signs.
Yeah.
Close games.
Yeah, 87, they were close, but lost a home game to New England that I think eliminated them second last game of the year. And then 88, yeah, it's off to the races.
We haven't been talking much about Xavier Worthy. I suppose that's a good sign.
I think so, yeah. Mostly it's just to point out that Mahomes has missed him more often than not lately. Like downfield, there was another one in this Denver game that he was pretty open on, and the ball sailed way out of bounds on that throw. He's been missing him down the field.
You know, you can blame Mahomes for that. You can entirely blame Mahomes for that if you want.
I would.
He hasn't done anything. He has nine carries. He has 20 catches in nine games, Worthy. Coleman has that, right? Does Coleman have 20 catches?
I think Coleman
might be close.
Yeah, it might be. Let me get the stats.
22.
All right.
22. Anyway, like Worthy, it was scary week one. He scored on a handoff in week one.
Right.
And maybe he scored again in that game. He didn't have the catches. I know I had an over bet that missed, but he scored at least once, maybe even twice in that game. And so setting the table for
here we go. Right.
But that angle has just not been there.
No, that has not really happened. It'll seem like he has 60 catches and 10 touchdowns if he does end up catching something that matters on Sunday, I think. Right? Like, you know, it'll just feel like, oh, this guy, oh no. I think is how that'll end up feeling.
And Coleman will miss the game,
Coleman,
so there's no...
can't go head-to-head with him.
Right. Comparison there, at least Sunday.
Right.
He does share the team lead with five touchdowns with Kareem Hunt. Come on. Did you go out and pick up Kareem Hunt everywhere when...
Well, I have Kareem.
You were one of those people.
We did pick up Kareem Hunt.
I was not.
We had a need. We had a need. Well, we had Pacheco, so we needed to do something. So we
His 3.6 yards per carry.
Right.
But five scores.
I can't tell if you're looking at your phone or not, so I'll say this because you're about to launch into the coming up next. We're going to talk to Matt Verderam, but we're not because he's got something's come up for him personally, so he's going to move to tomorrow, and we'll catch up with him then.
All right.
So no 4 o'clock Chiefs preview from us today.
I'll see if Sal can move up, or we'll just talk to Sal later and keep going. Either way. Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.